Welcome to These Are Good Days with Leanne Miller
and Matt Barris
and Carlos Whitaker.
Oh, yeah.
And Carlos Whitaker.
We've got Carlos Whitaker on These Are Good Days tonight.
Yeah, you were going to say, well, Matt, we have another guest.
But now I'm going to say, well, Matt, you painted your living room pink.
I sure did.
Why don't you give us a little rundown about that?
Here's the thing. We got a new couch.
Yes.
And we learned from the nester to always worry about your tushies. So yeah. We got a great couch that I'm very excited about. And we didn't know what color to paint our living room. And Mallory said, why don't we try pink? So we tried a couple pinks and we found one we liked. And it's kind of a neutral pink.
Yeah, I love it.
It's not Barbie. I don't feel like I'm in a Barbie house.
It's blush. Yeah. It's blush. I love it.
So it happened.
Okay, Carlos. Hello. On our podcast.
Yes.
We share a good day, a recent good day. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant or fancy. Yeah. It can just be, I stayed home and took a nap in the afternoon. It can be anything.
Which I did today.
You sure did.
So you're getting me post-nap, actually.
Yeah, it's good. Good. Your eyes are bright. You've had a frothy coffee.
Yeah.
Okay, we each share a good day, and then we'll give you a little time to think about it while we're sharing our good day.
Okay.
And you have to share a recent good day.
A recent good day. Yeah, I got you.
That just comes to mind. Yeah. You go, Matt.
Okay, here's my good day. I've talked about these guys before, but there's a group of guys from church that we get together quarterly, and we all of us like Skyline Chili. Carlos, have you ever had Skyline Chili? Have you heard of this?
I have never even heard of Skyline Chili.
Okay, Skyline Chili.
Is that a Kansas City thing?
It is a Cincinnati thing.
I actually have. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like
Kansas City, Cincinnati, tomato, tomato. Listen, if you're listening from either of those cities, I apologize.
Okay, listen.
You're not missing much.
You don't even know.
I don't like it.
You've never. Have you tried it?
Yes.
I don't think you've tried it.
Okay, but I don't think I've eaten it correctly. You're supposed to eat it like counterclockwise or
something. That's not the point of the story.
Okay, right, go.
The point of the story is there's a group of guys. We all met at church. And I would say maybe 5 or 6 times a year we go to Skyline together because our wives don't love it. My wife loves it, but not all the wives love it. And we call ourselves the Skyline guys. And honestly, here's what I'll say about this is men, we can be lonely sometimes. Mm. And I think what I love about Skyline guys is we all get in one of our minivans. We talk about the most ridiculous and the most deep stuff and everything in between.
It's good.
One of my friends, Eric, Skyline Eric, we've talked about him here before. Skyline Eric said this, I have laughed so much. And yeah, we talk about our marriages.
It's good.
We talk about parenting. You know, I have a fourth grader. We're getting ready to talk about the birds and the bees and sex and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, all right, guys, how are we doing this?
Yeah.
How are we doing this?
I like that you said and all that kind of stuff.
And all that kind of stuff.
Because there's a lot of stuff that goes in that.
There is a lot of stuff.
It's so good. I think
here's what I'll say. If you don't have yourself people like Skyline guys, get you some. Because we cannot do life alone. So shout out to Skyline guys and Skyline Chili. If you are listening, support us.
DM for collab.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Except for I just said I didn't really care for it. But listen, I'm sure that if I eat it correctly, because you're supposed to eat it like
I'll help you
a certain way.
Yeah.
I'll say this, and we've talked about this in the past, is when Daryl and I downsized, when Dee and I downsized and we moved to Worcester, we talked about what we would want to do. Like, do we want to move? Do we want to move to Colorado? Do we want to move to New Mexico?
I remember I was scared. Yeah, I thought y'all were leaving.
Do we want to move to Hilton Head? And do you know why we didn't move, Carlos?
Tell me why.
Guess. Just guess why we didn't move. You were part of it today. Guess why we didn't move.
Well, community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Daryl's people.
Yep.
And you saw Daryl in his element.
Listen, when I saw Daryl with his people, Daryl, I won't say Daryl wasn't Daryl. Daryl was probably more Daryl.
That's a good word.
Than me. Not more Daryl, but it's like it opens a whole new part of him.
Mm-hmm. Something in him. Yep.
Yeah, that is necessary.
Yep. And we didn't want to leave that.
And you recently said that because you were in Hilton Head for a month and you said, Ohio is home for us and it will always be home.
Yep. He has his home is here. His people are here. His childhood friends are here. And so I think it's just as important for men to have incredible friendships as it is for women.
Preach somebody.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. My good day. You ready? Mm-hmm. My good day involves Heather Whitaker. Heather.
Oh.
Yeah.
All the feels. Carlos is all up in his feelings.
Listen, first of all, Heather and I are very different. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are. We're different personalities. But it works. Like, Heather sometimes bosses me around and I kind of like it. She's like, no, we're not going in that store. We're going in this store. And, or she says, if I'm in the thrift store and I'm taking a little too long on an aisle, she's like, you're not going to buy anything in that aisle. Let's wrap it up. Let's go.
Listen, just the other day, Heather said, I don't want you on Miller time. I want you on Whitaker time.
Yes, that's what she said.
Dang, son. She said that.
Yeah. So I went thrifting with Heather and we had so much fun. We covered so much ground because we were not strictly on Miller time. We were on Heather Whitaker time and
That's
it
right.
was fun. We had so much fun.
Okay, hold on. Are we all old enough to remember? Bring your thirsty self right here. You got the time, we got the beer.
Yes.
For what you have in mind. Welcome to Miller time.
There's a song.
Hello.
This is your theme song.
Hello. I'm sorry, I'm over 50, but when I was a kid, that was the Miller commercial, the Miller time commercial.
It's my song.
I'm going to replay this after this airs so I can learn that song and sing it for you.
Yes, yeah, that's amazing. I'm so glad that you knew where we were going. Yes.
Here's what Miller time is, too. Miller time is where there was this one moment where Leanne and I were going to Columbus, uh-huh. and we had a little bit of a strict time schedule.
It's true.
And she wheels into one of those Valvoline instant oil change and is like, I need to get an oil change. And we were late, and this is just how it goes. When you're with Leanne, you never know. She might need to get pants hemmed, an oil change.
But Heather and I went thrifting, and Heather got the mother load when we went thrifting. She just got so many great things.
What is the mother load? What was she looking for?
Just really great stuff. She got some silver trays. She got some beautiful glassware, all for the wedding coming up. And it just, you know, here's the thing. Friendship is also time spent doing things that are going to matter later.
Totally.
So we're thrifting and we're buying things and we're getting things that are going to be showing up in our life or in the Whitaker's life at the wedding. And it just felt special.
That's
felt,
so awesome.
That felt really great. And if you hear the mower or the weed eater in the background, it's Daryl. It's Big D.
It's just Daryl.
It's D. It's D outside working.
Carlos, what about you? What's your good day?
My good day would probably be my son's 18th birthday party.
Mm.
And it was a good day because it was... Well, it involved pickleball, which you guys know. I'm all, and we'll go there in a second. But it involved pickleball, and my son loves pickleball as much as I do. Like, he watches it on TV with me.
That's cool.
Right? Like, we watch the pickleball channel on TV.
Okay,
right?
who wins? Who wins when you play?
I mean, me.
He's
close.
You're fierce on that.
I'm fierce.
Are you ferocious with your family and people that you play with? Like, you don't.
Even the kids, like the girls, like, I don't hold back. Like, I will beat them 11-0 every time. Like, and they don't want me to let them win. And all the boys, the fiance mm-hmm. and the boyfriends and the friends of the fiance and the boyfriend, none of them can beat me. They're all 22.
Listen, we're going to, we're honestly going to see you.
You're actually going to have to rename this episode in a year. Interview with Carlos Whitaker, number one senior pro pickleball player in America. I'm just telling you, I've seen you play.
Yeah,
is senior like senior as in superior or senior as in age?
50 plus.
Okay.
So I'm the youngest.
This is why this can work.
Yes.
Yeah,
because everyone else that's 55 in my division has bad knees, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
sorry.
Okay, so sorry. I got hijacked. I knew it was going to happen when we started talking pickleball. But he had a pickleball party. And why it was a good day was he invited his... You know, when you're my age, like, you're literally everything's about your kids. Like, I just want to see my kids happy. I want to see my kids succeed. And Losiah invited his church friends and his Chick-fil-A friends. And like, we've never seen these Chick-fil-A friends. He's like on a Chick-fil-A group chat. He'll go play volleyball with them every other Sunday. But we're like, who are these people? Right? Who are these Chick-fil-A? And they all came and they were just awesome. So it was cool for me. It was a good day because we were playing pickleball. It was like chilly in the evening. We had all the courts rented. Everyone was having fun. It just was a good day.
Yeah, it's a good day.
That's so awesome. I love that.
That is the epitome of these are good days, that kind of day.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, are we ready to dive into this podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
What were you going to say? You were going to say something. I saw you say it. Oh, okay. Okay, Carlos.
Yeah.
You know, we get into conversations when you come and visit.
We do.
And we get into some conversations that are serious and like just heartfelt. And so I'm going to ask you a question, and it's based on a conversation that we've had. So I'm not doing this without your permission because I don't want to shock people.
People are going to be like, "When Leigh-Anne,
yeah, how, she is the a tough nerve."
Yeah.
I want to know how lately, you know, we all have a faith framework. Mm-hmm. Matt, Carlos, and I, we all profess to be Christians, the Christian faith.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Yes. And
well, what's your definition? I'm just kidding.
Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Jesus died on the cross. Ask him to come into our heart. Save us from our sin. He's the answer. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe he's real and powerful. And all of you agree with that, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a great
story. So, Carlos, I want to know how you lately have been disobedient to God.
Wow. I can't believe you would ask me that question.
how, because listen, we all have a level of this in our life.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes it's more obvious. Sometimes we know it clearer than other times, mm-hmm. but we've been talking about this.
Yeah, we have. And last night we were sitting on the porch, and I was telling you that, this last weekend, I had kind of a word spoken over me at church. People that may be listening to the podcast may be like, what does that mean? It's simply just an encouragement. You know, it would be like, could happen at church, it could happen in a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. But if you have a friend that knows you and loves you and loves Jesus, I believe that Jesus can speak to your friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
To give you things to do. You
a
know what?
Word.
I'm now a author and a speaker because Mike Foster gave me a word.
Mm.
He may not have even called it a word.
Yeah.
Right.
But he gave me something that came from his heart that I believe that the Lord told him. So anyway, I had my pastor give me it was like a gentle nudging towards realigning maybe what my, what's the point of everything I'm doing these days?
Mm.
And, you know, I've had the last few years, I think most people would call it a lot of success mm-hmm. In my job and in what I do and in the growth of my platform and all those things. And the word was basically, Carlos, are you on assignment? Are you still on assignment? And then the word turned into, I feel like you may be off assignment. And to hear that from somebody basically means, okay, well, if God is asking me to do one thing, he's assigned me to do one thing, and I'm not doing that thing, then that means I'm being disobedient, right? Yeah. And so I just started to dive into that when I got that, when I was told that, and went home and just kind of started praying and getting in the Bible. Because here's the other thing is it felt right when they said it.
That's what I wanted to know.
And that's another thing. It's like there was no offense.
Yeah.
There
yeah.
was no hesitation. There was no pushback. Mm. It almost felt like a breath of fresh air when they said that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my gosh. And so I think for me, disobedient is sometimes can be such a strong word for people because you hear disobey and immediately that makes you think when your kid disobeys, you tell them to do one thing and you do the other thing.
Right.
But sometimes disobedience, I think, can be so sneaky to come in such tiny little facets. 1% here, 1%, you know, maybe you're being 5% disobedient here, 2% disobedient there. And the next thing you know, after it culminates over a year or so, maybe the edge and the sharpness of God's calling in your life begins to dull. Mm. And it's because you haven't been sharpening it with obedience. And so, you know, I feel like I am gifted to speak to people that come from various worldviews, various faith spaces, various ways of thinking in ways that doesn't trigger them, that makes them, you know, feel like, oh.
Doesn't make them want to fight.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And actually it makes them want to stick around even if they don't agree with me.
Right, right. Right.
But I feel like my disobedience has come to where I'm thinking about not offending more than I'm thinking about, it's like I'm almost like trying to dull my Christianity and my faith a little bit more than I need to be. And so the when I thought about that, how am I being disobedient? When I thought about how am I not being on assignment, I realized, you know, my ultimate assignment is to lead people, I believe, to lead people to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. And that's, I mean, obviously that's what I believe in my faith, that you need to have Jesus. Jesus is your answer towards eternity with in heaven. Some people may believe in heaven, some people may not. But I believe that at the end of the day, it's not my, I have not been called to make people feel good.
Yes, that's a word.
I've not been called to just make people feel good about themselves and like, and give everybody a hug.
Right.
And I feel like I've just kind of turned into the hugger the last year. And a hug is great because it can help somebody in the moment, right, but it's not going to ultimately take them to a place. The hug, the purpose of the hug is to make them, is to make them feel safe with me so that in that safety, I can maybe have some more difficult conversations.
Right.
And I just haven't been entering into those conversations.
Absolutely.
And so that's where I feel like it's gotten a little disobedient. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, this is the first time I've unpacked this on a microphone. So, you know, it's a little vomity, but that's kind of what I, you know, that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to say it out loud?
Great.
Yeah.
Because I feel like when we're being disobedient, you don't want to say it out loud.
Right. Well, because
and
I think
then you don't want to bring it to light, and then you don't, you know, because once you bring it to light, then you have a decision to make.
Right.
Am I going to continue?
Right.
In disobedience, right, or am I going to?
Well, yeah, I think this speaks to where a lot of us, and I'm going to say us because I think we all kind of feel this way, feel in Christian culture that there has been such a hard line over the years and in the past that it's felt very, we don't want people to feel religion. We want people 100%. To know who Jesus is. So part of that is making people feel not only safe, but a level of acceptance.
Absolutely.
You know, and so then what can happen in that acceptance is someone ultra conservative can say, oh, they're watering down the gospel.
Right.
They're getting to where they're just accepting everything. And I think there's a real gray area there that you're talking about, that you want to stay true to the true gospel of Christ, and you want to be able to say it in a way that is clear and concise and meaningful and what you believe. But at the same time, if someone has been very hurt by the church or very hurt by Christian culture, that they can listen to you and not feel like, if I don't believe exactly how he's believing right now, I'm going to run. I'm either going to dive in and take everything that's on his hook.
Yeah.
You get that fishing.
Yep.
That fishing. Yep. I'm going to take everything he's putting out on that hook. I'm going to take it, I'm going to believe it, or I'm going to run from it. And I think we're in that period right now as Christians where I don't want to water down how I believe, but I also don't want people who don't believe like me to feel like I'm disapproving of them. Right. Or if they don't believe my same way, they're not welcome around my table.
Yeah.
Because I think over the years we have done a poor job in some Christian circles of making everyone feel welcome if they don't agree with us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I think your answer is what you just said. Like, well, I think watering down that terminology, I think sometimes can get a little, at least for me, I would say that word and I would automatically turn that into, well, he is not presenting the whole
yes,
version.
Yes, right.
That he's not presenting right, the right. whole, you know. And I don't think that you can water down at all Jesus washing the feet of who he washed the feet of. I don't think you can, like, if you just copy and paste what Jesus did, like you look at his life and then you do it, like that's living out the gospel. And here's the kicker. I do think that there has to be a place where at some point you do present the full gospel to somebody. Yes. You do present
yes.
the full.
Yes.
And so here's the thing. This is how I would say I would be watering down. If I don't get somebody that I'm in relationship with to a place where I can present the whole gospel to them, and I just spend 20 years just loving on them, you know, and with maybe being afraid to share the full gospel with them, then maybe I'm living in disobedience. Maybe I am watering down at that point. Yeah.
Can you give me some examples of, I mean, I know this is kind of new and fresh, this discovery of how you're feeling.
Yeah.
But can you give me some examples of how you feel like when you say a dulling of the sharp edges, can you give me an example of that?
Yeah. So I had somebody tell me, I mean, for instance, maybe a year ago, Carlos, if you really want to speak in corporate world, you've got to have less Jesus talk on your Instagram.
Oh, okay.
So guess what I did? I have less Jesus talk on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And when I do that, I feel like I'm dulling down the truth of what I believe. Here's the thing. When I look back at 2022 or even 2020 and 2021, when I'm like, I have a really big influx of followers, I was not in any way, shape, or form dulling the Jesus language.
Right.
They were
right.
coming it, no matter
right.
what.
Right.
And so here I am taking the advice of somebody that's in the world that I want to be in, quote unquote, or that I'm trying to kind of speak into. But that's not me. Maybe that's for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, why does it have to be for, so I feel like I've dulled down the edges there. I feel like, I think that would be like a overall, I think about that too much as I'm posting.
I literally think about that
too much. And that's dulling things.
And you don't do that when you write your books though.
No.
Right.
No, I don't.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Like, I know that like the widest portion of my funnel for people to consume what I create is Instagram. Mm-hmm. So it will always be the safest place for people that don't believe what I believe.
Yes.
Right.
And if I can just make sure, because here's the other kicker, what I was talking about with disobedience being watering down by not taking people to what you believe is the truth. If I don't even have to talk about Jesus on Instagram. If the next step is my books, and then the next step is, you know, as long as there is a continual funneling people towards the truth of what you believe, then I think that's important. I just don't feel like I've got that bottom of the funnel anymore, and I need to kind of get it
back. Yeah, that's good. You know, and here's something I also want to mention about this that spoke to me last night when you were sharing it. That's not been, I would say, super prevalent in my faith journey is when you have someone in a place of authority who you respect, who you have watched live their life and teach, really live what they teach. And I'm speaking to your leadership at your church, because your church is literally like a beacon on a hill.
Yeah.
It is, you walk into church and have a service there and it's like experiencing sunshine.
Yeah.
So historically and often we can have things spoken into our life from people in places of authority that does not feel loving.
Of course.
So when you talked last night that you felt a little hand on your back and you heard the words come from your pastor, that there is a message to me and an importance in the delivery.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. And actually she said, before she even told me, she goes, you know, I've been praying for you this week and I've been thinking about you this week. She said, and she said, and when I was thinking about you, I just see that you're dry. And when she said that, it just rang true again. I just do feel so dry. And honestly, like, I'm dry because this season's sucking a lot of stuff out of me. I got my parents across the street. My dad's got dementia. My daughter's go, you know, so of course I am. Like, it would make sense. So that rang true. And then she said, you know, listen, I don't want you to be offended by what I'm about to say. Can I tell you something? When your pastor puts their hand on your back and they're about to pray for you, and then they say, I don't want you to be offended. Yeah. I literally was like, oh crap. You know, like hanging on, like what is that? You know? And she just said, I just feel like she reminded me of my assignment that I knew and she knew was my assignment, yes, 6 years ago.
Mm. Yes.
She said, "Do you remember when?" And she reminded me. And I was like,
Will you tell that?
Yeah. I 6 years ago, I was at my church. You know, it's a pretty charismatic church for my, you know, the way I've been raised. And then 6 years ago, I was called forward by her husband, the other pastor at our church. And in front of the whole church, he like called me to the front and he just delivered this kind of word for me where he said, "Carlos, you're a great communicator. You're a great speaker, but I'm calling out of you right now that you are no longer just a speaker. You're a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Mm. Right. And it was this very powerful moment where I was like, whoa, it almost felt like a sending out, like a commissioning.
Yeah.
And so she reminded me of that moment. And then she just said, "I just feel like you're off assignment a little bit."
Yeah.
And you know, so she pulled my history. This is when you know that a word from a pastor is like a healthy thing, right? There was a relationship there with her and I. There is history.
Yep.
There is love.
Respect.
There's respect. There's gentleness. All of these things, maybe we could unpack what those are at some point, but there's all these things that happened that made it right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that was kind of how I was reminded.
Well, and then you know what it also does, and I see it in you when you communicate it, is it removed any shame or guilt from the scenario. Absolutely. That you can share this so that people that hear you say this can feel like, you know what, I can share my disobedience too.
Yeah.
You know, I can share the areas where I feel like God is nudging me or someone is speaking a truth into me that I know is what I should do or what I should obey.
Carlos, when you talk about your responsibility in being a minister of the gospel, I think when I hear watered down, that term used, it's always with a negative connotation.
Sure.
And it's all, I feel like it comes with an expectation that you're not doing something that someone else wishes you would be doing.
Sure.
And so when you say that you are a minister of the gospel, how would you describe what that responsibility is and what it is not? Because I think when people say you're watering down the gospel, what they're wanting you to do is they're wanting you to tell somebody to change. When is that your responsibility?
Sure, yeah.
I don't think that is.
Yeah.
So how would you describe what's that responsibility of being a minister of the gospel and what is it not?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think everybody's going to have a different responsibility in ministering the gospel. Mm. I think that there's different ways to do it, right? I believe that I minister the gospel in the strongest way by showing examples on how to live like Jesus, like just kind of showing people the way of that. You know, I don't think I have to preach sermons and give altar calls.
Right.
Like I don't.
And you are an incredibly gifted storyteller. I think that is a gift that God has used in you.
Yeah.
To give pictures and metaphors and connect.
Yes.
Real life, tangible things to spiritual things. I think that's a gifting of yours for sure.
Yeah. And so I think watering down the gospel for me would be not using those things that God has gifted me in doing, you know? And, I mean, I think somebody may be watering down the gospel if they're just an a-hole. Can I say that? Sorry.
Yeah,
but in telling people about Jesus, guess what? You're watering down the gospel because now none of these people are going to want to even hear what Jesus has to say.
Absolutely.
Right.
So it's like, that's watering down the gospel too. So it's like, what is, to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ for me is staying in conversational, healthy intimacy with God, with Jesus, with Holy Spirit, reading the word every day, praying, asking him questions, and just staying as close as I can to him so that when he does call me to do something, I'm available and I'm ready and I'm available to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not being that close, then I'm going to miss it. And then I'm going to miss the moments of ministry. Then I'm going to miss all the spaces. So I think, honestly, at the very crux of it, we're all going to minister in different ways, but you just have to stay close. And honestly, I haven't been close. And so, you know, my pastor was able, without even knowing it, to call that out of me, without even knowing that that was a thing. It's like, how close am I staying? The closer you stay to his voice, the more accessible he is, and the easier you're going to, you know, be able to step out and do the things he's asking you to do. So, yeah.
Well, and I think his voice is clearer because sometimes our own thoughts or our own desires or our own wants can muddle,
yeah,
you know, the clearness of his voice.
Yeah.
So how do we navigate that tension? Because there's a tension there to be managed. I don't believe this is a problem we're ever going to solve. I think this is a tension to manage as Christians, to say, hey, we want to be in the world and not of the world. Uh-huh. We want to love people well where they are. Uh-huh. My responsibility is to tell them about Jesus, but my responsibility is not to say, you need to change everything and you're horrible person. Yeah. What does navigating that tension? Because I think you do it beautifully, but I'm hearing now in this conversation that you want to refine it even more.
Yeah.
And what that looks like. And I think why people appreciate you and are drawn to you is you have shown the love of Jesus in a very wide way.
Yeah.
So how do you think we manage that tension to say, hey, Jesus is this, and go here. We're making this move towards obedience and towards his love and towards forgiveness and towards Christ, truly, instead of just a generic love.
Yeah, well, be the hands and feet of Jesus. So we have to get close enough to people to touch them. Right? You can't love people from a distance. It has to be up close. Mm. So that's the first thing. And then once you're up close to them, the biggest thing that I don't have to remember anymore because it's part of my DNA now, is to remember that it is not my job to play the role of Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so the role of Holy Spirit, if you look in Scripture, is to convict the world of their sin.
Yeah.
And it's, and you know, that's the role of Holy Spirit. It says, I'm not making this up, this is what it says in Scripture. So the second we start to replace our job with the job of Holy Spirit is when things go sideways. Mm-hmm. This is when things go sideways. And so when we begin to feel like we're the convictors, we're the convictors, we're the ones that need to convict, the church needs to convict.
Yeah, well, Carlos, it's part of why I get so frustrated sometimes in what I see. Well, it's why there's some Christian leaders and some Christian communicators I can't listen to
anymore. Sure,
yeah.
Because I feel like it's all about... it feels like I'm being talked at, or I'm being preached at, or I'm being, and it plays to, well, there are some non-Christians I would rather be around than Christians. Right. Yeah, yeah. But the truth is, I do want to have community with people that don't believe like me.
Right.
And when you're raised in a very conservative Christian culture, mm-hmm. often you're raised with people that are just like you.
Yeah.
You know, and really you're not encouraged to be friends mm-hmm. with people outside.
Right.
Of that circle. Mm-hmm. And now at 55, I'll ring the bell. At 55, I don't want to be just friends and in community with people just like me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is what I would say to that, Leanne, at least to the point of some of these communicators or pastors that, you know, you don't really, can't really listen to, or, you know, it's hard to listen to. The one thing that I have found beneficial for me in my journey, and why, honestly, a lot of people that follow me don't go to church anymore, but I still do. I love going to my church.
I love going to church, not only
because it, you know, the music's great and the teaching's great, but because I feel like I am. Well, this is a prime example. What happened last weekend? I do believe that as Christians, we do need to find some sort of human spiritual authority that the Lord, it's in Scripture,
yes, mm-hmm.
that the Lord has placed over us.
Yeah, that's good.
And so for me, Pastors Alex and Henry, they're not just my friends. I do. And because I respect them, because they have integrity, because of all these things, I will accept a hard word from them when I don't even want to hear it. But some people that have had very real woundings from very real relationships with pastors, sometimes have a harder time, you know, with that, mm-hmm. right? Like with hearing a harder thing coming at you. Mm-hmm. But I do believe that there are leaders that God has anointed and ordained for this day and age, that are the shepherds and should be leading us and should be, you know, it's hard. It's hard to think that way, but I am grateful that I'm lucky that I'm in Nashville and that I found this church, but that I have two pastors that I'm like, I submit to their authority.
Right.
And you know, it's been a good thing for me.
Yeah.
That's I just want people to hear that.
Also, what might be hard for me to hear, and maybe I can't listen to the words that that leader or that pastor sure. speaking, but maybe it's resonating with someone else. And so I can't limit
yes.
who God may be speaking with. It's kind of like the road signs on the interstate that say, repent or burn in hell. I'm sure. always like, who is that sign?
I know. Heather and I passed a sign on the way. Oh, we passed a sign on the way here coming leaving Cincinnati that it just was the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, thank you for the reminder. It said, thou shalt not murder. Like on there, that was like one of, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, thanks for the reminder. And I was thinking, we were just laughing, like, who, like, someone's paying money to have that on the billboard, you know?
Right.
But again, I have to think, well, I mean, maybe somebody.
Like, I have to tell myself, like, who am I? Who am I to say that God isn't using that in some way? And who am I to limit him?
Right.
So, yeah.
That's right.
Did you have another question?
No.
Really?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, awesome. I actually, I'm so glad we talked about this.
Yeah, so
I have one last thing.
Yeah.
And then are we out of time? Yeah. Oh, wow. Gosh, it went fast. As you go from here, because this is recent, you know, you've got that word recent.
Yeah.
What are some ways? Because, listen, I have had moments in my life where I'm like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Mm-hmm. Like, am I in the space I'm supposed to be in? Well, it seems like I am. What am I? What are ways, like tangible ways, like daily ways, that you plan on continuing to make sure that you're on assignment? Like, what are some of these like physical strategies, like, or tangible strategies that you can share if people are feeling kind of the same way?
Yeah. First of all, the first thing is, if you're over 50, don't be scared to ask that question because I feel like people that get later in age, that they're like, well, I mean, I've completed my assignment, or I'm like, this has got to be my assignment. I'm like, no, like if you're 75 and listen to this, God may have a completely different assignment for this, the next years of your life. So ask the question, write it down, ask God, what is my assignment? What is my assignment?
That's good.
And so, yeah, write it down in a journal. I write it in my journal. It's at the top of my journal every day now. Like, Lord, what's my assignment? And kind of get down to it. And then also, you know, invite voices into your life where, cause they're not in your head and people can see your giftings. People can see things about you.
That's true.
You know, when I was leading worship, I was, you know, this was 13 years ago. I was leading worship at North Point, at Elevation, at Saddleback, at all these gigantic mega churches. Like, to anyone watching from afar, well, duh, he's on assignment. And then I started having my wife and some friends going like, I just feel like you're a better communicator than you are singer. And I just remember being like, what? Like, and so I invited voices from outside that were telling me all the same thing.
Yeah.
But it didn't make sense. Yeah, it didn't look right. And now I look and I'm like, oh, can you imagine if I was still like singing? That sounds like the most backward thing ever. But it's because I invited other voices. And so invite other people.
Right.
That's good.
Right. That's good.
And to speak to you.
So if you're feeling dry, what are you going to do about that?
If you're feeling dry?
Yeah, if you're feeling dry, what are some of the things you're going to do?
I mean, for me, again, it's every single time, and I didn't get in the word this morning because I had to get up and iron my Walmart shirt in order to get to the wedding. But for me, really, it is as simple as opening up the Bible every day.
That's good.
It sounds like a sixth grade devotional talk, but gosh, man, when I do it and I open it, it's like, and then like Losiah comes down the hallway and I'm like, oh my gosh, you'll never believe what I just read. You know how that was? And then I went to, and then the other day when I said this, and then, oh my gosh, I read this today. And it just, it just pours water over you, you know?
Good.
So get in the word, you know, ask God.
And pray.
To ask God to make your dryness not dry anymore.
To pray.
Right.
You know, last night we were talking about something hard and I said, well, why don't we pray right now? Like, why don't we just pray? And you prayed.
Yeah.
And while you were praying, I was like, you know, this is good.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Because when we talk, yes, we can talk and we can hash and we can solve some things.
Mm-hmm.
But when we pray, things can change.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and I think even prayer is you know, just really to set aside time, not just time that you're in the shower or driving or whatever, but really, really intentional time.
And well, I think to pray the prayer, God, am I on assignment?
Yeah.
You don't have to know to start this.
Yeah. And you don't, and you don't have to hear right away, you know? And honestly, like there's a daily prayer that Heather prays more than me, but it kind of sets her day up every single day. It's a little morning prayer. It's in the back of my Kill the Spider book or Inner Wild book. But it's a simple little prayer that you can pray. It takes a few minutes. And just praying that every single day just feels like, you know what, that just kind of after, if you could go to sleep feeling like the best Christian in the world and you wake up feeling like an atheist. And it's like, you know what? Just praying that prayer just seems to like center you, you know? And absolutely. So, yeah, I agree.
What that's about good. Music? Do you do anything with music?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I got my playlist. I call it every year I put a new one up called Holy Spirit Feels. And so like any song either at church or I'm listening to that makes me cry. Oh. I put it in this playlist.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the year, I've got like 17 songs that I just bawl to.
is there one on the tip of your tongue right now?
I mean, there's one that keeps showing up every year on it. Actually, I don't even know what it's called. It's a Bethel song. It starts off with piano. What's the name of that song, babe? I don't know what you're talking about. It starts with the piano. And it's like, I knew that you would come. You came. Yeah. Maybe it's called You Came.
Look it
I'm
up.
I'm going to play
look
it right it up, now. Carlos. I'm just going to play it from my phone.
And while you're looking that up, we're going to take a little time to talk about food. And I'm going to ask you, Carlos, because you've been there plenty of times, about Walnut Creek Foods and Walnut Creek Cheese. So be thinking about that while you're looking up that song. Yeah.
Listen, did you take Heather there or have you taken her there before?
Oh, are you kidding me? Yes.
And what she does Heather get Heather when gets she goes the to Walnut Creek Cheese?
Oh, it is called You Came.
It is called that? The Chipotle. She's yelling, do the Chipotle cinnamon rub it all over pork roast or.
Did you rub that on your pigs?
Oh, here it is.
Here we go.
Oh, there's the piano.
I mean, already, like, can't you just feel it?
We can't.
Oh, it's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It's just sweet, right?
And
it's,
hold on. Oh.
Mm. Here we go. Here's the part that makes me cry.
Yeah.
So it's a story of Lazarus.
Oh.
And you came and it's just so good. So I love that song. I'm crying already. Yeah. Find yourself some Holy Spirit Feels songs.
So good. You know?
Carlos, what's your favorite thing from Walnut Creek Foods? Walnut Creek Cheese.
Oh my gosh. Well, not walnuts.
No.
I would, can I just say that I like when I go get bologna?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. They have great
Did Heather use that rub on the pigs that you guys raised together?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the other thing. I would never eat bologna from anywhere else, like except Amish country.
Yeah. That's fair.
I mean, it is what it is.
They have great
We don't need to argue with that.
No, yeah. They do. Awesome.
Thank you, Walnut Creek.
Yeah.
Hey, Carlos, thank you for joining us on our podcast.
You're welcome.
Leanne, do you want to say it? Do you want to say it?
Yeah, I will say it. And thank you for sharing something personal,
it's
new too, yeah,
and hard
and working through,
and really just
in process,
whether you know it or not, being someone of influence that gives us all permission,
that's right,
to identify ways that we might be being disobedient if we attest to be a Christian. So, it's pretty cool. Okay, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope that you see that
these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.